What we're hearing here is Afro-Peruvian music. The music has its roots among the slaves who were brought to Peru by the Spanish in the 1500s. Musicians in parts of Peru continue to make this music today. And that's what Minneapolis musician Corey Wong went to look for and record in Peru last spring. What he came back with was a rich collection of songs played not on a stage or in a formal studio, but out where people lived and gathered and carried on their lives. The result of all that is the CD Peña, and Corey Wong is here to talk about it. Thanks for joining us, Corey.
Thanks for having me.
Well, as I understand the story, you flew to Lima, Peru last spring with exactly one contact to find this Afro-Peruvian music. What was it that drove you to make this trip?
Well, my main guitar mentor is a gentleman by the name of Andres Prado. He first introduced this music to me, and within minutes, I was in love. It just brought this type of energy and this type of life to my ears and to my soul. And he said, if you want to really understand Afro-Peruvian music, you need to come down to Lima. You need to come to the coast of Peru, where this music was born.
Well, what was it about the music that got to your soul?
The thing that fascinated me the most about this music was the rhythms and the emotion behind those rhythms. Now, one of the main things that Afro-Peruvian music offers that most don't is the fact that the cajon is the main instrument. The cajon is a wooden box that a percussionist will sit on and just hit with their hands. This is an interesting instrument because it was also birthed from the slavery part of this history. The Spanish conquistadors, in an effort to maintain authority over the slaves, decided that they were going to take away all of their musical instruments. But the slaves, this music was still in them. These rhythms were still a part of who they were. So they ended up improvising by using dresser drawers and fruit boxes and just hitting those and using their feet and tapping on their legs. And eventually, those fruit boxes and dresser drawers became what we know as the cajon today.
So anywhere there was a surface and a pair of hands, you had a drum kit.
Exactly.
So you had gone to Peru because you were really enamored of this music. And you arrive there and you don't have anything really set up. You have, what, some recording equipment. How did you find the music?
This was what we thought would be our biggest challenge when we got there. We decided to go down. There was three of us that went. When we got to Lima, the first couple nights were just spent going out and checking out and meeting as many musicians as we could in all of the clubs, in all of the Peña parties. The record is named after Peña. Peña is just a party that they throw in Peru. We met the musicians. We told them about the project that we were doing. And every single one of them was super excited to be a part of it. Every single person we met said, absolutely, I would love to share this music with you guys. And we love the idea of you guys recording this music and sharing it with other people.
Well, there's one recording on your CD, Peña, Barranco Landó. Where was that recorded? What's the story behind that one?
This one is a recording that's very, very near and dear to me because it was recorded on the night that I met the other two musicians that are playing on the record. And in the session, it was Hugo Alcazar, a guy named Jorge Roder playing bass, and myself on the guitar. And I set up the gear, and they said, okay, what do you want to play? And I said, I have this tune. It's a Landó. They said, okay, why don't you just play a little bit of it for me? I played about 5 seconds of it, and they said, okay, let's record it. Let's do it. And the first take that we did, the first time that I had ever played this song with other musicians, and the first time that these guys have ever even heard the song, it ended up on the record.
And so was it important for you to do this project the way you did it, sort of guerrilla style of going in with minimal recording equipment, not working in a studio, but doing this on the street, in the restaurants, right on site. How did that work?
When we first decided to do this project, we were really nervous about not having a formal recording studio to go into. But then, after our first session, we sat back and we realized this is absolutely perfect. I don't think if I could do it over, if I could go down there and have a multi-million-dollar studio, I don't know that I would use it. I think I would do it the exact same way, because what happened was we got very real and very raw recordings that I feel were the best emotional and the most passionate performances out of these musicians in their homes, in places around the city where they were totally comfortable playing, where they live and breathe this music every day. And I was very happy with recording it out on the streets and recording it in such a non-formal way.
Well, the result is they're very intimate. There's a song on the CD called El Carmen, and this is a reference to that area where the music got started in Peru?
Yes, this was a song that really portrays the emotion and the vibe of that area. This music comes from a very dark place in some aspects, but it also comes from a place of celebration. The song El Carmen is a song form in Afro-Peruvian music called a festejo, and this song is a representation of the joys in life.
For these recordings, you found some incredible musicians. Were these people who had been recorded before?
There was such a wide array of musicians that we used for this project, in background, in where they live, where they come from. There were some musicians that had never even imagined that they would record in their lives. They just played this music because it was in them. And there's a lot of musicians that we recorded that music is what they do for a living. They record all the time. We recorded musicians that just play on the street every day. So it was such a wide range of musicians that we recorded.
Here's a collaboration on the CD between you and a singer on a song called Quizás un día así.
Mm-hmm.
What is that song about?
That's a love song. It's about a lover talking about how they feel about the other person and how they want to express their love and their emotion, not just on a personal one-on-one, I love you, you love me basis, but also a very spiritual thing. A lot of the music that comes from Peru has such a spiritual aspect to it. And even in a love song as simple as this, there's a spiritual element that brings us up, that lifts us up to something higher. And that's what this song is about.
Surgió la ensoñación de un alma al despertar a la ilusión de vida y comunión de dos que quieren bien la dulce sensación de estar con Dios y así tener la plenitud de la gloria de amar al dar el ser.
Corey Wong, you're playing guitar there. Who is the singer?
The singer is a woman named Paloma Godoy. I absolutely fell in love with her voice. I feel like Paloma's voice is a very intimate and personal voice, something that I was able to really connect with in my playing. And I felt like her performance in this really delivered the true nature of this song and really portrayed the emotion and the feeling of what this song is all about.
Quizás un día así, como una luz de Dios, brotó el amor. Sutil surgió la ensoñación de un alma.
You've gotten really good feedback on this CD. Is there one song that captures the essence of it the most for you?
Yes, the tune Chincha really sums up a lot of this music for me. It is an example of a festejo, which is one of the most definitive styles in Afro-Peruvian music. And I feel like rhythmically and emotionally, it really captures a lot of what this music is all about.
Well, you have your guitar there. I hope you might play that for us.
Yep.
Corey Wong is a musician and producer of the CD of Afro-Peruvian music called Peña. Thanks for joining us, Corey.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
You can find a link to a video of Corey Wong and Peña on our website, worldvisionreport.org. And while you're there, you can download podcasts, read blogs, and you can post your comments. We're always interested in feedback about the show. That address again is worldvisionreport.org. And that's it for this week. Our program is produced by Beverly Abel. Lita Hartman is the assignment editor. Christina Darden, Cynthia Graber, and Sue Shepherd are our producers. Script editors are Jenny Schmidt and Julie Drizin. Chris Baldiga is our production assistant. Doug Boyles is our sound engineer. And Emily Eagle is our engineering assistant. And sitting in for Peggy Waymire, I'm Melinda Pencava.
Support for this program comes from World Vision, building a better world for children. views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the organization.